He went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? We all know what Proverbs has to say about idleness. And so God wants us to go and work. So let's look at how the two sons responded here in Matthew 21, verse 29. The first son, he said, I will not. I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And of course, yes, this is talking about the Gentiles versus the Jews and how the Gentiles initially had been rejecting God's message, but they accepted John the Baptist's message. And of course, here we are 2,000 years later. And do we have more saved Gentiles or more saved Jews? And this is also many Christians' initial reaction to God's call to go work in the vineyard is a selfish response. No, I don't have time. I don't have the energy. It's too much to ask for me to go work. And of course, that's a dangerous attitude to have with God, isn't it? We're told in 1 Samuel 15 that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. In 1 Samuel 15, 23. But the good news is, it says, verse 29, he repented and went. He realized that he was wrong in saying, I will not work. I will not serve my father. But he repented and realized that that was wrong. And then he went and he worked in the vineyard. And I think we all know which son God wants us to be. The one that went to work. Amen? The one that's... What he said is irrelevant. What he did is what counts. And that is, he went and he worked. Is working for the Lord easy? In many cases, no. Look at Luke 14, if we could, verse 25. There is sacrifice involved in working for the Lord. Many sacrifices involved. Luke 14, down in verse 25, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and he said to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Jesus here is saying you need to count the cost. Serving me does involve some sacrifices. But that doesn't give us an excuse to say no. Because he's worthy of our sacrifices. He sacrificed everything for us. He says, now I want you to go. And I want you to work. And it's going to be tough. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face attacks. You're going to face trials. But never does he say, well, because you're going to face those things, just never mind. You don't have to go work. He never says that in the Bible, does he? He says, go. Go and work. He told the disciples right up front, you guys are going to go out and they're going to resist you. They're going to attack you. They're going to run your name through the dirt. And then when he was about to the cross, he even said to the disciples, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Talking about the baptism of the cross, the suffering. And they said, yea, Lord. They didn't know what he was talking about, but he said, actually, you will. And history tells us that every one of the disciples was martyred for Jesus Christ. Was it worth it? Of course it was. They've been in heaven for 2,000 years. Amen. But there's going to be sacrifices involved. But this is what God wants. Even if your initial response to God's call to go work was no, Lord, I can't or I won't, still wants you to repent and go and work for him. And you know, if you go to Matthew 9 quickly, verse 36, most of Jesus' lamentations or woes were pronounced upon the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. But this particular one was actually a lamentation about his followers. And also one of the rare prayer requests that Jesus put out there. He didn't put out a lot of prayer requests. But this is one of them, Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. One of the rare prayer requests that Christ gave of specific things that we are to pray for was pray that God would send forth laborers, workers, into his harvest. And so that first son, he repented and went. Even though he initially said no, he repented and he went. Now let's go to the second son here in Matthew 21, verse 30. The second son, he said, I go, sir. So his initial response was, yes, I will do this. I will go work in the vineyard. This is like a lot of Christians, you know, they talk big. But you know what? God's not interested in our talk, is he? He's interested in our action, what we do. We all know that love is action. And this is what Jesus wants. He wants us to serve. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were constantly resisting Christ, weren't they? And they initially said, yes, we're going to listen to you, Jesus. But eventually they said, crucify him. And how many Christians have said, yes, Lord, I hear you. I need to go. I need to work. I need to labor in your vineyard. I need to get out there and work for you. But then they don't go. And in the end, what matters is that we go. Not that we say we're going to go or not say we're going to go, but that we go. And this is, you know, Christians need to just not even talk about how spiritual they are. Just get out there and do it. Amen. Just go serve the Lord. Just go work. He says, I go, sir, and he went not. And I believe that the test of our sincerity in the Lord is not what we say, but what we do for him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, didn't he? And then if you look at 1 John 3:18, God makes it very clear that our love for the Lord is not so much to be expressed in what we say, but what we do. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, the things that we say, in other words, but in deed and in truth. Indeed, that's our deeds. That's what we do. God says, this is how I want you to show your love, is through what you do, not what you say. And you know, many Christians have probably made promises to God along the way and not fulfilled them. And that's between you and God, of course, but that's dangerous. The Bible says in many places, especially Ecclesiastes 5, it's better to not make a promise to God and not keep it. It's better to just not make it in the first place. I'm paraphrasing. Don't make promises to God unless you plan to keep them, in other words. And that second son, I go, sir. And he went not. So he asked the crowd, verse 31 of Matthew 21, whither of them twain, which of the two, did the will of his father? Well, that was obvious. You know, when Jesus told these sorts of parables and he's trying to teach the crowd a lesson, he makes it very obvious, doesn't he? And so they said unto him, the first, the one that said no, but repented and went, he's the one that did the will of the Father, not the one that said, I go, sir, and then didn't go. And then he says, the publicans and the harlots, trust me, the Jews did not want to hear this. Because those were pretty much the two most hated groups of the day, weren't they? The publicans, those were the tax collectors. The Jews hated them pretty much more than anyone. Why? Because they collected taxes on behalf of Rome. And pretty much the only way that they could survive was to graft some off the top. And so the Jews always looked at their fellow publican Jews as traitors to the nation. They hated them. And they were the ones, you know, that people would have to line up to pay their weekly or whatever taxes. And there's their Jewish brother sitting there collecting this money for Rome. They hated them. And of course, the harlots, well, that's obvious. They were considered the scum of the earth. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves the scum of the earth? Where would we be if he didn't? Amen? And so he's essentially not only correcting, but rebuking the Jewish nation right here and says, you know what? The publicans and the harlots are going to go into the kingdom of God before you. Because they're going to accept me after I die on the cross. They're going to believe on me, and that many of them are going to get saved. These wicked sinners that you consider dogs, they're going to get saved. And he says, but John, verse 32, John the Baptist, he came in the way of righteousness. He came preaching about me, and you wouldn't believe him. And of course, then they said, we have no king but Caesar, and they nailed Christ to the cross. Now, they did not get the parable completely. They would have afterward, after Christ died and rose again. But they didn't get it up front. But you and I get it, don't we? There's two sons here, and each of us has a choice of which son we're going to be. Are we going to be that son that might have initially said, well, Lord, that you're asking too much. I realize you're my master and my Lord, and that I need to obey you. But you're asking too much for me to go serve you, to go work in your vineyard, to go labor in the fields. But then we repented and went. Or are we going to be the son who says, yes, I will serve Christ, but it's just empty words. And we really don't serve Christ. We always have the choice. He's given us that free will. And remember, what motivated him to say what he said about the harvest and the laborers was when he saw the multitudes. When Jesus looked out, what did he see? But he saw people that needed him. Amen? Well, we're still surrounded by people that need him. And we have a job to do. And that is to go and work in the vineyard. Witness to your workmates. Witness to your neighbors. Witness to your family. Look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus, your wonderful Savior. He's given you everything. He's given you a home in heaven. He's given you eternal life. He's given you his own presence in the person of the Holy Ghost. He says, please, in return, go tell others what I did for you. Go and work in my vineyard. I hope that our answer will be, yes, I will go. Even if my initial response was no, Lord, yes, I will go. And I will work. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful parable, the multiple lessons that are found in it. But Lord, for us as your children, may we relate to the son who initially was resistant, but then repented and went. May we be willing to go and work in the fields that are already ripened to harvest, that people may hear about Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Lord, may we not be the son who might talk big, but we don't back it up with our actions. May we instead be the one who goes. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. Lord, there might be someone here that believes in you, but they haven't come to that point where they've trusted you as their Savior and been born again yet. And I pray that today they'd realize Jesus said, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And I pray today they'd be willing to come to Christ and get their sins forgiven and receive eternal life by trusting Christ. Have your will and way in each